Well, good morning, Hope Church. I do hope that you are well. My name's Mark. I'm the pastor here at Hope Church. And it's great to have you join us watching wherever you may be across London or different parts of the world. You're really welcome to be with us. Please do greet one another on the chat. Please do interact, say hi, say where you're watching. Please put in any prayer requests and we'd love to pray for you. Any comments on the preach? And do let's interact in this way. Now, two very quick notices. Just to say that tonight, Sunday, we have our fortnightly prayer meeting, 7:30 till 8:30 p.m. on Zoom. We always have a great time. We'll be praying for Hope Church, we'll be praying for the nation, and we'll be praying for the nations. So do join us if you can. And on Tuesday morning, we always have a fantastic time. We begin Tuesday morning, 7:30 till 8 a.m., just half an hour, again on Zoom, and we begin the day by praying. I would encourage you to join us, set aside half an hour, time you might have been commuting, and do join us to pray. Now, we are in a preaching series entitled Complete, looking at the book of Colossians. The wonderful truth that comes through loud and clear from this rich book, this rich letter written by the Apostle Paul, is that in Christ, as a Christian, you are complete. You are complete in Christ. Now, today we reach a turning point in the letter. Chapters 1 and 2, the chapters we've looked at over the past few weeks, are these glorious and rich truths. They tell us that we're complete in Jesus. They explain the gospel. They explain what Jesus has done for us. That it's not about what I do, it's about what Jesus has done for me. Now, Paul shifts a gear. And now, he gets practical. Chapters 3 to 4 are about how we live out the truth of the gospel. After these glorious rich truths in chapters 1 and 2, chapters 3 and 4 are how we connect what we believe with how we behave. You see, if we are complete in Christ, which is what, as a Christian, you are, complete in Christ, then that must affect the way you behave. People must be able to look and see a difference because as a believer, you are complete in Christ. I was remembering early this week a little story of something that happened years ago. I was on a holiday in my early 20s and there was a whole bunch of us away and we managed to convince a friend of ours called Alex that on this holiday of about 90 people, there was an ex-pop star, a woman called Cheryl Baker. She was in Bucks Fizz. They won the Eurovision Song Contest in 1981. And there was this woman on the holiday that looked like her, like a slightly older version, now married with a couple of kids. And we managed to convince Alex that this really was Cheryl Baker, kind of 15 years on. Now, he took it hook, line, and sinker. This was his heartthrob. This was the pop star that he had posters up in his bedroom. And he believed the kind of what we told him. And throughout this holiday, because he believed that this woman was Cheryl Baker, the ex-pop star, the ex-winner of Eurovision, his whole behavior changed. He became more nervous around her. He was very polite, letting her go first in the queue for food, etc., etc. His whole demeanor, his whole behavior changed. Why? Because of what he believed. He believed that this woman was an ex-pop star, his ex-heartthrob. Now, on the last night, we told him and, you know, he was gutted and then annoyed and then saw the funny side of it all. Now that's a silly little story, a silly little example, but the point holds, what we believe affects how we behave. So I want to look at three things from Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 11. Three things about what we are to do in light of what we believe. The first thing is this. We are to savor, that's important, that word, savor who we are in Christ. Let me read verses 1 to 4, chapter 3, Colossians. If then, or since, it says in some versions, the turning point. If then, since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now that word savor, I said it was important, because that word savor means to hold the taste, to enjoy the taste, to let something linger. Think about your favorite ice cream flavor. Oh, let it savor the taste. Beautiful succulent steak. Oh, savor the taste. Your favorite sweets, your whatever it is, savor the taste. Paul is encouraging the Colossians to live in the light of who they are in Christ. And the way to do that is to start by savoring, to linger, to meditate. Meditate means to chew on, to savor, to chew on who you are in Christ. Let this sink in. He says, verse 3, we have died with Christ. There's a full explanation of that in Romans chapter 6 to chapter 8. You know, Jesus died for us in our place. He was our substitutionary sacrifice. Jesus broke the power of sin. We died with Christ. We live with Christ. We have Jesus as our life. We have eternal life in us, which is Jesus Christ himself. We are now dead to sin and alive in Christ. Verse 1, it talks about we are raised with Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, 3 days later, he rose again. Jesus lifted us out of the grave. As Christians, we are alive in Christ. We've been raised with Christ. We died with Christ and we are raised with Christ. Verse 3 says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. Hidden with Christ. In Christ, there is a security. There is a satisfaction. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. And in verse 4, the second half of verse 4, it says that we are glorified with Christ. Yes, we are complete in Christ, but there's so much more to come. There's the full revelation of glory one day in heaven. You see, this is ultra rich stuff to meditate on and to savor. We've died with Christ. We live in Christ. We're raised in Christ. We're hidden in Christ. We're glorified in Christ. That, my friends, is you. It's each one of you who is a Christian. And verse 2 gives us the key, because verse 2 says, set your minds on the things that are above and not on the things that are on the earth. This is the key. We're to have our feet on the earth and our minds in heaven. We're to look at the world from a heavenly point of view. Someone said it like this: how I walk and live in this world depends on where I sit. I am seated with Christ in the heavens. So that should make a difference with how I live. Now listen, if you're anything like me, you need to be constantly reminded of this truth. I get up in the morning, I need to be reminded, oh, I'm seated with Christ in the heavenlies. By lunchtime, I need reminding that I am complete in Christ. It's not what I do, it's what Jesus has done for me on the cross. In the afternoon, when the kids are going AWOL and I'm driving myself mad, I need to know that I live in Christ, that I am alive in Christ. By dinner time, when I'm tired, I need to know that my life is hidden in Christ. There is security and satisfaction in Christ Jesus. And when my head hits the pillow at night, I need to know and remind myself that I am glorified with Christ. The best is yet to come. You see, we simply need to be on earth who we are in heaven. I'll say that again. We need to be on earth who we are in heaven. To savor is to suck it, to enjoy it, to savor the taste. This week, I want to challenge you to savor who you are in Christ every day. To meditate on it, to chew it over, to let it permeate your very mind, your very taste buds, the whole essence of who you are. Read Colossians 3 verses 1 to 4. Read Ephesians 3 and 4, the chapters which are like a greater expansion of these four verses. How do we change how we live? How do we live in light of the theology, the truth of being complete in Christ? Well, firstly, Paul tells us to savor our identity, who we are in Christ. The second thing he says is to then slay the old way of living. Let me read verses 5 to 8. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Paul is very, very stark here. He's reminding the Colossians of their old way of living. It's a stark contrast, these four verses, to the first four verses. It's like, here's who you are, your identity, this is what you are in Christ, and here is what you once were. Here's the way you used to behave, the old way of living. And Paul is saying there's no place for this old way of living in your new identity. I mean, verse 6 very soberly sums it up. Verse 6, Paul says, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. So you can't live like this. So you need to slay this old way of living. You need to deal with your fleshly, earthly desires. Now he names the sensual sins in verse 5. It's interesting, they're the ones we often go to. But he also, in verse 8, talks about the social sins, things that are deemed in some ways more socially acceptable. Things like anger, things like lying, things like coarse humour, critical attitudes. Things that sometimes we can shrug our shoulders about and move on. But Paul's saying, no, I want to identify these things. That's why he names them. He names these earthly desires and says, look, I want to name these sensual sins and these social sins. I'm naming them so that you can deal with them. Now you might say, okay, great, but how? How do I do that? How do I slay those earthly desires? Let's read on verse 9 to 10 because Paul there tells us. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have got off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. You say, what does slaying the old self look like? Well, we have it there in verse 9 and 10. It is taking off the old self and putting on the new self. Now the Greek here is all to do with clothes. And very simply and practically, what Paul is talking about is that we are to take off our old self, slay it and deal with it, and put on our new self. Now, the Greek tense here in verse 9 and 10 tells us that this has already happened. When you became a Christian, this is what happened. When you repented, when you turned from your sinful ways and put your faith and your trust in Jesus, this is what happened. Your sinful old self was crucified and dealt with on the cross. And you put on a new identity, a new self, and it became a child of God. You became complete in Christ Jesus. But here's the thing, that happened once and for all, the day that you became a Christian. But it also says in verse 10 that we are being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So what Paul is saying is, look, it's done. The Greek tense is, it's done. Off of the old self, on of your new identity in Christ. But there's an ongoing renewing. There's an ongoing becoming more like Jesus. That is ongoing day in and day out. The theological terms for this is that you're justified. It's a justification once and for all. Old self dealt with. New self, alive in Christ, son and daughter of the King. But there's an ongoing process of sanctification. Think of it again, another way to think of it like this. When Jesus rose from the dead, when the resurrection happened, Jesus left the grave clothes behind him in the grave. It was a symbol of the old life. The sinful deeds being left behind because there was a new life in Christ. When you become a Christian, the grave clothes are left behind. The old way of living, the old way of thinking is left behind and you are clothed in righteousness. You take on a new identity. That has happened. But there's an ongoing slaying that needs to happen. There's an ongoing being renewed and becoming more like Jesus that needs to happen. And it's like this. We need to take off anger and deal with it. And we need to put on gentleness and kindness and be renewed as we do that. We need to take off lies and lying about things and put on speaking the truth in love, being truthful in our businesses and in our lives and in our relationships. We need to take off the evil desires and put on the godly desires. When you slay a dragon, you think of it in kind of fairy tales, or when you slay a dangerous beast. It takes decisive action. To deal with our past, to deal with the earthly sinful desires, it takes decisive action. And I think sometimes we're too like, all this, or all that, or all be gentle over here, or do a little bit of that, a little bit of that. No, we need to be decisive in dealing with our earthly sinful desires. Take them off, deal with them, and put on your identity, your righteousness, who you are in Christ. So we're to savor who we are in Christ. We're to slay our evil desires. And thirdly, we're to strengthen ourselves in Christ. Let me read verse 10 again and in verse 11. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and in all. You see, because we are in Christ, we are seeking to be more like Christ. Verse 10, I love that second half. It says that we're to be renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. That's Jesus. You see, the more we get to know Jesus, the more we become like him. Many of us have been going through the Bible course over the last 5-6 weeks. It's been wonderful to journey through the whole kind of arching themes and storyline of the Bible. And last week we were in the Gospels. And I would challenge you to take a Gospel and read it through. Take an hour of your time and read a Gospel through. You want the shortest one? Go for the Gospel of Mark. It's the most action-packed, it's the shortest one. And it just gives a great overview of Jesus, what he did, what he said, his death on the cross, his resurrection. And you see, the more we get to know Jesus, the more it will change you. We're transformed by getting to know Jesus. But having a relationship with Jesus. That's what it is to be a Christian. And we're to strengthen that relationship. How do you get to know someone in human terms? You spend time with them. You get to know them. You talk to them. You listen. You talk. You listen. You hang out. You do the serious and the difficult things of life. And you do the fun, enjoyable, kind of just lazing around bits of life. Well, that's what we're to do with Jesus. That's how we are strengthened in our walk with God. If we get to know Jesus and hang out with Jesus. Summing up the whole Bible, we can say this. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we are formed in God's image. Because of sin, we become deformed. We become imperfect. But Jesus comes along and transforms us into God's image. And the more we get to know Jesus, the more we spend time with Jesus, the more we become like him. Romans 12 verse 2 said we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth that strengthens us as believers. Get to know Jesus and you will become more like him. Get to know Jesus and your life and your actions will be more Christ-like. And verse 11, we mustn't kind of skip over verse 11 because that tells us that we are all one in Christ. That the human barriers of the old man, of our sinful desires, are no longer there. We are one new man in Christ Jesus. Different nationalities, different cultural differences, different economic statuses, male and female, slave and master. We are all in Christ, one new man. Christ is all and in all. Now, let me just come back to one question that may be nagging at the back of your mind. We touched on it earlier, but let's close by looking at this question again, because you might be saying, okay, Mark, really helpful, but why do I still battle with my sinful self? When I became a Christian, when I repented and put my faith in Jesus, didn't I get a new identity? Aren't I a son of God, a daughter of the King, dearly loved and now clothed in righteousness? Yes, you are. Nothing will change that. But let me illustrate. Let me hopefully illustrate this. You see, here's my white t-shirt. Let this white t-shirt just illustrate our identity in Christ. There we are, in Christ, loved by God. Jesus has done it for us on the cross. We're clothed in righteousness. But you see, every single day, in fact, multiple times a day, these kind of earthly desires, these like zombies, come up. It's a bit like a thriller film. They kind of come up out of nowhere. When we're least expecting them, zombies kind of appear, sinful, earthly desires. They spring up. And in that moment, you have to make a decision. And more than a decision, you have to take an action. Will you take the sinful desire and will you clothe yourself in that sinful desire as it comes along? I can't get my jacket on. Okay, will you clothe yourself in that sinful desire? Will you do that? Or will you clothe yourself in your new identity in Christ? That's the choice that we have. Will we take on the old man, the old way of living, or will we take on the new man, the righteousness, and the way we are in Christ, our new identity? And you see, the Christian faith is not a passive faith. There has to be a putting off and slaying and a putting on of who we are in Christ. Every day, multiple times a day, we are clothed in righteousness. And every day we're to clothe ourselves in righteousness. We're to put on the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. It's an active decision. It's actively putting on the armor to fight the day. You see, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to bring our lifestyle in line with our identity. That's the challenge to us today. Those of you who have a keen sense of fashion, you know, you want to make sure that the clothes you wear match. And you see, we need to make sure as Christians that our clothes, the way we live our life, our lifestyle matches our identity. We must be active in doing this. There is a moment to put off, to take off and deal with those earthly desires. And then we must actively take on and put on our identity, the righteousness that we have in Christ. We need to be ruthless. We need to slay those earthly desires. And we need to live in our identity of who we are in Christ. Let me conclude and pray. In Christ, you are complete. So Paul shifts a gear in chapter 3. And he helps us. And he says, in light of the glorious truth that you are complete in Christ, savor who you are. Meditate on it. Remind yourself of it. Not just daily, but many times during the day. and slay your old way of living. Be active, be decisive, be ruthless, and then strengthen yourself in Christ. Get to know Jesus, and the more you get to know Jesus, the more you will be like him. Let me pray. Do hope this is helpful. It's incredibly practical, and I hope you can take this and live it out this week. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for us as Christians, that in Christ we are complete. That in Christ our identity is that we are sons and daughters of the King. That there's nothing that we need to do because it has been done for us. We are complete in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray this week, would you remind us daily of who we are in Christ? I pray for many of us that you would help us to be decisive in the battles that we are fighting. That you would help us to slay those evil earthly desires. That you would help us to take off those earthly desires and deal with it once and for all. And then to pick up the truth of who you are and to clothe ourselves in righteousness, to put on the armor of God and to strengthen ourselves in Christ. Holy Spirit, pour out your strength upon us. Pour out the willingness to be decisive, to be courageous, and to act and to make a difference. Thank you for who we are in Christ. And thank you that in Christ Jesus, we are complete. Let us go this week and live out what we believe.